bringing both rifles and pistols. The Outlanders had their weapons with them, including the armorer's scattergun and Ryan's Steyr. Mashashiga was as usual, barefoot and clad in the simple black kimono, carrying just the unornamented sword. His samurai had mostly elected to wear their full armor. It was a scorchingly hot day, and they had all chosen to leave their helmets behind. Hideyoshi was wearing a red and white baseball cap tipped back on his head, which he handled as though it were a religious relic. It carried the slogan, St. Louis Rams, Super Bowl Champions 2000. They entered the hunting domain through a tall gate of barbed wire, guarded by half a dozen SecMen.
This is called Jurassic Park.
Why?
I do not know, Koda-san. I think it was once a famous place in old America. Does any person know?
A movie.
Would be a help if we had some idea what kind of prey we're after. Hideyoshi smiled his crooked smile.
You will see what you will see.
But are we looking in the trees or in the streams or the valleys? Big or little?
Yes, to every one of those. Up and down and around about.
We seek it here, we seek it there. We seek our quarry everywhere. Is it in heaven or is it in hell, that damned elusive... I fear that I have forgotten what it was that was so damned elusive.
We stand together for this hunt, or do we get to split up?
Together. Oh, there could be much danger from beasts.
You mean beasts like Yashimoto over there? Ryan grinned at the samurai. Just joking.
I understand, Koda-san. Understand joke. Of course.
The bright sun was glinting off something running across the far hillside, dipping down into the valley ahead of them.
Looks like rail lines.
A quarter hour later, having still seen no sign of any kind of wildlife, they reached the remains of a set of double rails, finding them buckled and twisted by one of the frequent quakes that had ravaged old Japan.
Look at there.
Handsome. Ryan leaned on the butt of the rifle and admired the train. It was covered in patches of rust, its silver flanks marked by 100 years of rain and bad weather. The front was round and tapered, like a missile.
If I remember, they were called bullet trains. They were the fastest locomotives in the world. Around 200 miles an hour, I believe.
200? Come off it, Doc. Nothing but planes could go that fast.
Not so. Racing motor cars went faster than that.
At times that your brain gets more addled than month-old milk, Doc.
No, I do assure you, my dear fellow. Bullet trains, 200 miles an hour.
Ryan glanced at JB, who pushed back his fedora and tapped his forehead. Mildred saw the gesture.
Because you got areas of ignorance bigger than a rutting hog, it doesn't mean that you can disbelieve things you know nothing about. And because Doc can be a doddering old fart some of the time, that doesn't mean he's not also right some of the time. Japanese bullet trains, like that one rotting away there, went 200 miles an hour, all right?
Sure, sure. If you say so, Mildred.
Not because I say so or because Doc says so. Just because it was so, Ryan.
Doc saluted her with his sword stick.
We thank you for your kindness and courtesy, my dear Dr. Wyeth. Uncommon, but nonetheless welcome.
Further along, a mutey heron, with enormous pink wings 18 or 20 feet across, landed near them over a grove of thorn bushes.
No, this is not to be hunted, Gajin.
Then what do we shoot?
Patience is a virtue linked with honor. I am not surprised that you lack the one as you also lack the other.
Hideyoshi gestured ahead of them with his sword.
Beyond temple, you see. There, hunting will begin.
You guarantee that?
Of course, Koto-san.
They walked past the tumbled stones of the ruined temple, containing a small bronze statue of a cloven-footed faun clutching a set of pipes. Like the relic of the train, a century of extremes of weather had taken its toll, and it was stained green, one arm split open by the frosts.
Now! We see animals to hunt.
Hideyoshi reached out for one of the 7.62mm NATO guns, a 20-round mag, and a bipod for prone shooting.
How can he be so sure?
You feel anything?
My air quality's a bit better up here. A bit. Do I feel anything? Not really. Nothing out of the ordinary.
There! They come!
Ryan saw a couple of the SecMen scurrying away to the right, 100 yards ahead of them, trying to keep low under the cover of the bushes. and he also saw their prey. In Deathlands, you always watched out for creatures that had been mutated by generations of radiation sickness. That meant changes in appearance, sometimes subtle and sometimes grotesque. Also, it often meant changes in size, which generally seemed to mean muties were bigger and more dangerous. The animals that scampered from the long grass looked like wild boars, but they were less than 10 inches in height, with tiny curling tusks and button bright little eyes, their hooves twinkling across the dry earth. Mashashigo waved his longsword above his head.
Shoot them!
Ryan unslung his stire again, but he held his fire, unwilling to take part in a massacre. None of the outlanders shot at the miniature boars. The standard of marksmanship of the Japanese was amazingly poor, considering the ever-shortening range and the large number of little animals. The nearest of them was closing fast, less than 30 yards from Ryan. Hashimoto looked at the outlanders.
Take part in sport, Gaijin!
Nay, it's unsporting.
The nearest boar was still heading straight for Ryan. Yoshimoto swung the rifle around, dangerously close to Ryan, who responded calmly by leveling the Sig Sauer at the head of the samurai.
No careless mistakes, Yoshimoto.
Yoshimoto looked away, dropping the muzzle of his weapon. The terrified little boar reached Ryan and rubbed itself against his leg. He stooped and patted it, his fingers brushing the wickedly curved tusks. It wasn't that much of a surprise to find that they were made of pliable plastic, stapled to the sides of the wretched animal's skull. Ryan straightened, looking at Mashashiga.
They were trapped. They're just poor little bastards that you caught or bred and tried to make look dangerous. About as dangerous as a field mouse. Then your men release them so you can blast them to hell and back and call it sport.
We have no natural animals here. It is the best we can do.
Well, it's a long way shy of being good enough.
Ryan knelt to pat the little animal. Several of the surviving muti creatures flocked to the foreigners, rubbing against their legs.
If you would move out of way, we can finish the hunting.
Mildred had her hand on the butt of the ZKR, her gaze narrowed with anger.
First man touches the trigger of his blaster gets a .38 smack through the middle of his forehead.
They are born to die. Their lives are not worth a grain of dust. Better they die as they are meant to.
Like I said, first man harms one of them gets to be lying on his back looking at the sky.
As she spoke, Mildred gazed around, realizing that the bright sun had vanished, as though a black cloud had passed over its face. Ryan also looked up, followed by all of the others, at the unnatural darkness that had come sweeping in over the hunting park.
Fire blast.
It was like watching a giant's fist, clenched and angry, sweeping its way across the summery sky. The sun had vanished, and an unnatural stillness had fallen over the land. Not a breath of wind touched the feathery top branches of the trees, yet the cloud was swooping fast toward them, seeming to possess a seething, malignant life of its own.
Oh, the plague of death.
What? Not a storm?
Damn, it's insects. Locusts.
Hideyoshi nodded mutely, turning toward the Shogun as if he were waiting for some mystical instruction that would take away the advancing horror.
Will not harm us. Cover face and mouth. They may land. They may pass us by.
The cloud looked to be about a mile or more in diameter, roughly circular.
Seen them in West Texas. Stripped crops in minutes. Starved veils.
I remember seeing pre-dark vids of plagues of locusts out in the east and the Middle East. Must be millions upon millions of them in that swarm. Are we sure that they aren't special muti locusts with a taste for meat?
If they are, then it's time to start praying. Not even your blaster's gonna do much to save us from that many.
Couldn't we hide? Do a runner for that old wrecked train?
It might be safer. Each man for himself.
Mashashiga turned and led the way, holding the longsword in his right hand, his bare feet kicking up puffs of dust as he ran back, past the slaughtered corpses of the little animals, toward the distant glint of the locomotive. Everyone followed him, though several of the accompanying Sekmen kept looking back over their shoulders at the advancing cloud of insects.
It's gonna be close, lover!
Christy was running stride for stride with Ryan, her hair flowing behind her like a bridal veil of living flame. Jack was right on their heels, JB and Mildred a few yards behind him. As usual, when foot speed was called for, Doc was trailing back in sixth place. but he was still beating all but one of the Sekhmen, and both